Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That
finally, having a little bit of trouble there. Tonight, Brandy Kennedy joins us. She's a featured author at Hummingbird Place event, Romancing the Smokies. Brandy is an American writer who is finally living her childhood career dream, and as a child, books were her world. And through adulthood, the love of words has never changed. A woman of varied interest, Brandy loves photography, music of all kinds, knitting, crochet, and of course, mothering her two young daughters. Currently, she finds her home in the heart of Knoxville, Tennessee, among the mountains and the members of her extended family, where she spends her days at the computer bringing fresh and incredibly real characters to life. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brandy Kennedy to Hummingbird Place. Brandy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show again.
Thank you for being here. I'm having a few little technical problems tonight, so you're just going to have to kind of bear with us. Sometimes that happens.
That's all right.
I hear your clock chiming in the background.
Yeah, I'm standing in the kitchen hiding from it right now.
That's okay. Well, Brandy, why don't we just go ahead and get started? Brandy is going to be a featured author at Romancing the Smokies. Brandy, tell us what we're going to have at your table.
I will have all seven of my books. And do you mean my luncheon table or my signing table?
Your luncheon table.
Oh, my luncheon table. I will have gift baskets for everyone there, but what's inside will be a surprise.
Oh, it man. I won't tell anybody.
So far, it will be a mix of little things that I love. It'll be things I love to have when I'm reading, things I love to have when I'm writing, things that make my life easier, little things that make me happy, just a few of my favorite things.
That sounds wonderful. Well, Brandy, tell us a little bit about your life before you became a writer.
I don't know that there was one. When I was a kid, I used to write little stories all the time, and I would be terribly offended at how cute everyone thought it was.
Yeah.
And then I started writing poetry when I was in high school. I remember when I was in fifth grade, there was a boy in my class, and I was determined that I was going to grow up and be a writer, and I was pretty sure I was going to be a published writer and, like, world famous by the end of the summer. And there was this boy in class, and he was pretty sure it wasn't going to happen, and I still owe him $10 because I lost that bet.
But now it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you've always been interested in writing. You've always been
interested in
writing, and it's always been there for you. But how did you grow up? Were you in the city, in the country?
A little bit of both. I moved around a lot as a kid, and so there were a lot of sort of down-home places that I lived in that were off the St. John's River. I grew up in Central Florida.
Uh-huh.
So we lived on the river, but I always... If I was in the country, I kind of hated it. I was always more comfortable in the middle of a big place where everything was close by and whatever you could want to do, you can go do it. I always tease my cousin now. She is kind of my assistant, and she helps me edit everything and stuff, and I always tease her, and I call her Country Mouse because she lives in the country and she loves it there, and I love when I can visit her there, but I can't imagine staying there.
Yeah, I live in the country. I grew up in a big, well, not in a big city. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And the place I live is 1 square mile, where I used to live in that area, and it has over 8,000 people in it.
Oh, wow, that's a lot
of
people.
Yeah, square mile, yeah. Here,
maybe that's
too
much city for me.
Yeah. Well, it was a great place to grow up at the time. I don't know what it would be like now.
I can't imagine you ever got lonely.
No, I really didn't. I really didn't. So, what were you like as a teenager? Did you write?
I did. I was quiet and I was bookish. I mean, I had my little group of friends, but I loved to read. It was my favorite thing if I could get grounded, because in my room I had books and I had music, and that was really all I needed. And I remember my mom had me subscribed. I don't know if she knew what I was reading, and I don't know if she knew what was in those books that she was getting for me. But I remember all through high school, she had me subscribed to like a Harlequin book box sort of thing. And So every month I'd get, I think, 3 books and like something extra, like a wine glass or something.
Uh-huh.
So I used to love that. And I remember I had a shelf in my room that went the whole length of the wall, and it was full of books. And I would read them. I still will read books over and over and over. If it's good, I'll read it again and again.
Do you have any favorite authors?
Probably 1,000. I love the Outlander series by Diana Gabaldon.
Uh-huh.
And I love, of course, I mean, I love all the usuals, like Nora Roberts and Danielle Steele and Nicholas Sparks. And, you know, I love all the regulars, but I really love Colleen Hoover. And she actually, I found her by accident. I saw a Facebook post on her wall that just, you know, I think it showed up on my status feed because someone liked it or something. And I read it and I just loved it and fell in love with her. So now I've read several of her books, and I follow her everywhere that I can follow her. She's hilarious, and she's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got into Skye Turner that way, too, but I read her whole Bayou Styx series, but they were a little too spicy for me because I kind of really like the sweet romances, and that's what I tend to write. So those were a little spicy, but she has another series. I think it's called Southern Hospitality, and I really want to read those, but I just haven't gotten to them yet.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I'm the same way. I was the same way as you were, very much so. But mostly I started reading a lot once I got married in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a writer because of Janet Daly, and I know that's a dirty name. Nobody wants to hear that. But I did. I became a writer because of Janet Daly. I loved reading her books, and it was just wonderful every month. I got reading the when Silhouette came out.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I got reading them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the big names started off in the Silhouettes, including Nora.
Well, I mean, they were a really good sort of, but because they weren't too big, you know, they weren't intimidating for people who didn't, maybe they were afraid to like reading.
Right.
So they weren't really big, but they had good stories in them, and they were stories that people could relate to with everyday kind of characters and everyday kind of problems, and in general, everyday sort of solutions. And I think people are hungry for that even now, because we have so many of our books now that are, they're very fantastical. You know, it's magical creatures and legendary things and werewolves and all these crazy plots with insane amounts of drama, and there's always some like psycho waiting in the wings or something. And so I think there are a number of us as readers that crave regular everyday stories with regular everyday people that we can relate to, except they're guaranteed almost to get the happy ending we want.
Yeah,
it feels
exactly.
Good. It gives us hope.
Absolutely. I am going to break now. We're going to have a few commercials, and we'll be right back after this.
Romancing
Alrighty,
Smokey?
I'll be here.
Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappeth will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness. Plus, how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, I'm on the couch with Brandy Kennedy, and Brandy's telling us we're starting to talk all about her books. Brandy, I know you have three books that are standalones. What was your first one?
Well, they're not really meant to be standalones. They're all part of series, but right now those series are incomplete, and so the first books are out, and that's it. The first one is Selkie, and it has a long story. Originally, it was called To Love a Selkie, and it had a very tragic sort of ending, but those characters wouldn't leave me alone, even though actually they were all dead.
Okay.
So I had to go back, and I had to go get them and give them more story because I just couldn't stop thinking about them. So now that story has turned into a trilogy, and I am currently writing Selkie 2. So there's that one. And it is, you know, I talked earlier about how we have so many books right now that are fantastical and they're legendary characters and all that sort of thing. I always had a kind of softness for old Celtic legends and that. And so the Selkie is, I guess it's like the seal version of a werewolf, kind of.
Okay.
So in the old stories, it was, the female was like, maybe what we think of as like a siren. You know, she could come out of the sea and she could shed the seal skin, and she was, of course, beautiful, and she could sing and was lovely and all that stuff. And so a desiring man could perhaps trap her by stealing the seal pelt from her and hiding it away. She would then be a very loyal wife and a very loving mother, you know, unless she found the pelt, and then she would take it and go back away into the sea and abandon her family. So you had to hide it good if you were going to hide it. But I thought it might be fun to take that legend and flip it and reverse it. And so in my story, the Selkie is the male, and there is a whole different dynamic in how you might encounter a male Selkie. And so at first I really followed the way the legends went, but they just wouldn't go away. So they've got more story now. Then the other one is called Fighting for Freedom. And it is, I think the tagline on there says, it is one woman's journey from victim to victorious. It's a domestic violence sort of escape story.
Okay.
It's a little close to my heart. There are scenes in that book that are pretty graphic, and several of them actually come from my own personal life. I grew up in a home where there were several different domestic type situations that were regular, you know, occurrences. So it's kind of something I want to give hope to women who are stuck in situations like that, and also shed light on it for people who don't understand what it's like. So that one's pretty close to me. Christine Matthews is a character that's very, very dear to my heart. And for her sake, I donate 10% of everything I get from that book toward a local shelter with plans to someday perhaps open one of my own.
Wow, that is quite an ambitious and generous goal to have.
Well, I want to model it after the safe house that was in Fighting for Freedom. Because it wasn't just a shelter where you can live there for 6 months, and by then you have to have everything together and get out to make room for the next person. they kind of give you a job there and they teach you the financial skills that you need, because sometimes it's not about getting away from someone who's beating you. Sometimes it's about building an independence that has been taken from you. It's not all about violence, and we can forget that. And we think sometimes that just because someone's nice to you or just because they don't hit you, that it isn't abusive. And that's not all that it means. So this place is, I guess it's like a rehab for victims. You know what I mean? And I want to make that real.
Hello, I'm back. Brandy, are you there?
I wondered what happened. What happened to you.
I Skype in, and just suddenly it just went dead. And so I put on the background music.
I love technology.
Yeah. And I put on the background music saying, please don't hang up, please don't hang up, please don't hang up. So
you
I told
love that technology.
I'm telling you, and it took me that long to get back in. I mean, it was asking me if I wanted to end the episode and so on and so forth. And, you know, I'm just talking away and okay. So exactly, technology, a wonderful thing here on Hummingbird Place tonight. We are on the couch with the lovely and talented Brandy Kennedy, and Brandy's telling us all about her books. Brandy, where did you leave off, sweetheart? Because I wasn't here.
Well, I was talking about making the safe house from Fighting for Freedom
right.
a reality. So,
okay.
Just kind
well,
of
I'm
that.
Sure everyone heard that but me, and I'm sure it was wonderful. So tell us about the third book.
Well, the good thing about you missing it is that this show is going to be something you can go back and listen to in the archives.
That's right. And I may have to go back and listen to my own show. That's pretty bad.
Hey, that's the best way to do it sometimes.
So that was your second book, Fighting for Freedom. And what's the third?
The third is actually a short story. I'm a member of a writer's group here in Knoxville called the East Tennessee Creative Writers Alliance. And I had a ton of stuff going on. I think it was the year before last. No, I guess it was last year.
Yeah.
So I had been more than a year. I hadn't published anything. I think it had almost been 2 years. I just had a ton of stuff going crazy in my personal life, and it really affected my ability to write. So we had this contest in this group, and it was like a short story contest. And I had been beating myself up because I had a book I was supposed to be writing that just working. So
okay.
I told myself it was okay to put it to the side and work on this contest, and I did. And I think that killed the block or something, and the story ended up being really great, and it kind of won the contest, and I'm a little bit proud of it.
And what's the name of that?
It's called Courageous, and it is actually, that's my only one right now. All of my books are 99 cents except for, no, they're all $2.99 except for Courageous, which is 99 cents because it's a short story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think technically it's a novella, but I'm just calling it a short story because to me it's a short story.
Right.
So.
Well, what's it about?
This girl, Allie, she's an actress, she's very well known, and she lives in this great house, and she has a security team. Well, her security, her like head security that is always with her in her house, something happens to him and he has to be away. So they have backup coming in. She doesn't know who it's going to be, but she knows who he is when she opens the door, because he was the boy she loved who rejected her in high school.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So she, it starts out and she's like kind of thinking to herself, does she tell him who she is? Because he doesn't seem to recognize her, and she has like a showbiz name now, so it's not her actual name.
Right.
Well, through a series of unfortunate events, they sort of, you know, they make amends.
And end up happily ever after?
Well, officially, yes. Unofficially, there may or may not be plans for another full-length novel to come after that short story.
Okay.
But it's a secret, so don't tell anyone.
I'm not telling anybody anything. Anything that goes on tonight is totally between me and you.
Yeah, it's off the record, totally secret. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I guess I should say between you and me, because we are literary here.
And the fence post.
That's right. And the fence post is with me. Sometimes I do have a beagle assistant. Some people have executive assistants.
Oh, yeah, I hear him sometimes.
Some people have virtual assistants. Some people have executive assistants. I have a beagle assistant.
Well,
tonight,
those are really the best kind.
Yeah, tonight he's kind of laying down on the job. And literally is in the couch, on the couch, laying down. So
that's the best place to be if you're a dog.
Well, that's the best place to be even if you're me. And that's where I will be as soon as you and I are finished, let me tell you. I've had a long day today.
Oh, I can imagine.
You have three books, well, actually two books, mm-hmm. one short story, and then you turned around and you started a series.
Well, actually, my Kingsley series came in between when I wrote To Love a Selkie and I Killed Everybody, and that was my first book that went out. After that, I started Fat Chance, which is the first book in the Kingsley series, and I've sort of been bouncing back and forth because each series is a little bit different. They're all romance, but they all have sort of different elements in them.
Right.
So I just write whatever I feel the most right then. But the Kingsley series is kind of my baby, and they're just classic, sweet, contemporary novels. And even though it's a series, each one is complete on its own. You can read them by themselves or out of order or whatever, but of course, because they are a series, they are best read in the order that they are done, you know. But Fat Chance is, we start out with Cass Keaton. Cass is an orphan. She lost her whole family as a child and was raised in the foster system. Eventually, she found herself with the Keatons as a teenager, and they took her in as one of their own. Janet Keaton mothered her, and the children of the family accepted her almost completely. There was one boy in the house, a foster brother, and their relationship is a little bit rocky, and so they started out doing well, but now they sort of hate each other, and he is like, he's all of her inside weaknesses brought to life in a real person, and he knows
right.
what they are, and he knows how to push all her buttons, and it doesn't help that she already has self-esteem issues, and she's an overweight girl, and I mean, she's had it hard. Okay, so eventually she ends up in therapy because she found herself in the bathroom one day just thinking the unthinkable. So she gets herself up, she ends up in therapy, and she has this awesome therapist who has this way of telling you exactly what you need to hear, maybe not in the way you wanted to hear it, but in the way that gets through to you.
Right.
And through him, she kind of finds her own inner strength, and he's able to coach her into seeing a little value in herself that she didn't really believe maybe was there before, which is handy because she runs into this guy in the waiting room who's hot and sweet and helpful. And did I mention hot?
I think you did.
Yeah, he's hot. So she ends up sort of hanging with him, and it goes from there.
So
he happens to be Andrew Kingsley. He is the middle boy of the Kingsley family. So the first book then is kind of Cass and Drew's story, you know?
Right.
Each subsequent book, you follow up with the couple from the last book. So Cass and Drew's story keeps going in the second book. But in Prescription for Love, which is the second book, you will meet Drew's sister, Cameron. She's the oldest girl in the family. And she has, of course, some issues of her own. She has a extremely traumatic event in her past that is still affecting her greatly, which is it's a big deal for her, and she has panic attacks and PTSD symptoms and all that kind of thing, and so she is greatly affected by this one event that sort of derailed her whole life. But then she meets a boy. And the boy happens to know exactly how to reach her. And he is the person who helps her finally feel safe again. She learns to trust herself, and she learns to trust him. And through that, the Kingsley family grows again. So then we get to the third book, Wrestling Harmony. Wrestling Harmony is pretty cool because Harmony is the baby of the family, and she was always sure she was going to be a gymnast. But life goes on, things change. I think we'll talk more about that in just a minute, though, because I have to get a drink.
Okay, and we are on the couch with Brandy Kennedy. Brandy's here tonight because she's a featured author at Romancing the Smokies. We're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we'll have more with Brandy Kennedy and her Kingsley series right after this.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press Studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
And we are on the couch this evening with Brandy Kennedy. Brandy is telling us all about the books that she's written. And we are talking right now about the third book in the Kingsley series that she has on Amazon. And I guess that I'm waiting for her mic to get hot. There it goes. Tonight has just been slow. Brandy, welcome back, sweetie, to Hummingbird Place. And we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And you were getting ready to tell us a little bit about the third book in the Kingsley series.
The third book in the Kingsley series is Wrestling Harmony. And like I said, Harmony was, she's the baby, well, the baby girl, not the baby, of the family. And she she's kind of crossing the line from child to adult. And she is... she's now realizing that as an adult, she is far too old now to accomplish what she wanted to accomplish with her life, which was to become an Olympic gymnast. You know, gymnasts usually top out in their late teens because after that they're too big and too heavy, especially the girls. So she is now transitioned into training some younger children. But it's, of course, not what she wanted to do, and it really points out to her that she didn't do what she wanted to do. So she's looking for a new path and a new dream, and she happens to find it accidentally by accidentally ticking off the uncle of one of her students. He comes in to pick her up, and she knows who he is because, of course, she has prior notice that someone else was picking the kid up. Well, he doesn't know that she knows who he is. So when she doesn't check his credentials or whatever, he freaks. And they have sort of a misunderstanding. And they have a good bit of tension for a little while before they figure out that maybe they really don't hate each other as much as they thought.
That often happens in a good romance novel.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of like those. I like the ones where... it isn't instant, like you just look at somebody and you know they're the one. And I'm sure that happens in real life. And I've heard people tell me it does, but I still think it's really cheesy when I read it in a book.
Okay.
I want people to have to work to make it work. You don't just meet somebody and everything's roses. It doesn't work that way. So I like it that these two had a little bit of tension, and they had a little bit of fire between them before they kind of clued into what was going on. And actually, they had some help with that. Harmony has a really sassy little friend named Whitney.
Okay.
So Whitney is pulling strings because this guy, his name is Xander, and he is actually on the local wrestling circuit. So Whitney knows who he is. And Whitney makes plans to take Harmony to one of the shows, after which she informs Harmony that she has signed her up to audition for a position with the wrestling company.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, Harmony is looking for a new dream anyway, so she sucks it up and she goes. And lo and behold, the position is for a what's known in the wrestling business as a valet.
Okay.
That's your person, you know, if you're watching and you watch the wrestlers come down and they're coming to the ring, and this is all familiar to me because I grew up watching wrestling. So they come down to the ring and sometimes they have like a hot blonde or whatever that walks
right.
with them, and it's just her job to look hot. So
you know,
that's the valet.
That's who got that job because I had auditioned for that.
See,
and
Harmony stole it.
I know, and Harmony stole. Well, I don't like Harmony now because here
See,
I was.
That, well,
I was just going to walk around looking hot. I mean, which is what I'm best at. And I was going to wear one of those little skimpy outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, you know, you can go to Romance in the Smokies Facebook page and see the outfits that I've picked out for the event.
Yeah, I can't wait to put mine on, actually. It came in the mail the other day, and I was a little shocked at how small that box was.
Yeah, really? Not a lot of dress, just a, you know, well, I mean, you know, we're saving material and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
exactly.
So Harmony was looking hot, and she was going to be a valet. Is a valet, or is it a valet? Or, if it's a woman, is it a ballerina-let?
Hmm. I like ballerina. That's nice. She could be a, I like that, a ballerina. That would just make an up job. Somewhere,
yeah.
Someone in the wrestling industry is going to be angry over this.
Yeah, really.
Oh, someone's going to beat me up over it. I just.
Well, you know, The Rock, who is now Dwayne Johnson in the movies, I love
and
him
he
in
is,
movies.
Of course, hot.
Now, he's, yeah, he's a big old boy. You know that?
He is, and he was spectacular in The Ring.
The Ring.
In the wrestling
okay.
ring. I remember watching him when he was still wrestling long before movies were interested in him, and he was amazing. There was nobody like him. I think the closest the wrestling industry can come right now to The Rock is maybe John Cena. I think that's the best they have right now as far as charisma. And I mean, even if you hate him, you can't hate him.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that Dwayne Johnson has turned out to be a very decent actor. He seems
mm-hmm.
like he's just the, I mean, when he's on the talk shows and stuff, he seems like somebody you'd want to hang out with. And just, you
he
know,
is.
Have a soft drink or, you know, a beer or whatever is your choice and or a glass of wine and just sit down and chat and laugh. He likes to laugh. I mean, you can tell that.
He does. I think somehow he managed to stay very down to earth. I mean, he grew up like dirt poor, and he still takes care of his mom, and he played football for a long time before he wrestled, and then he wrestled before he went to Hollywood, but he's still pretty close to where he came from, and I think that's
yeah.
really cool.
I think it is, too. He just like I said, it, you know, he's married, and you don't hear things about him, you know? You just don't.
Actually, I'm not sure if he's married. He was married, but him and his wife got divorced, and I think their daughter's like 14 or something. But he has another woman now, but I don't know if they're married. Maybe they're married. They just had
okay,
a baby,
I
too, I think.
I didn't know he and his wife had split up, so I take all that back, everybody.
Yeah.
I was wrong. But, well, anyway, I like Dwayne Johnson. His last movie that I saw was San Andreas, and he was...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's not going to win the Academy Awards. He's not. But then again,
well,
not,
he's just not in those kinds of movies.
No. He's an action figure, and that's what he's going
mm-hmm.
to be. And he's going to, from what I can tell at least, he's going to play it for all it's worth. And when the time comes, you know, he's going to retire with a nice little chunk of change.
I think he'll do a good job. And, I mean, he's a beautiful person, not just to look at, but, I mean, you tell a lot about a guy by how he treats his family and the people who are
mm-hmm.
close to him. And from all accounts, he does a good job, you know, and he's like,
right.
he posts pictures on Instagram and stuff about his mom and everything. But I remember watching him when he was first getting started with the WWE back when it was the WWF, like in the 90s. Cause I mean, I remember being a kid sitting by my grandpa's feet watching like Andre the Giant and stuff. So, that was kind of a close thing to pull into Harmony's story when I was working through the Kingsley series because it is something that I love so much. Personally,
well,
go ahead and
tell us about after Harmony steals my job.
Well, conveniently, the ballerina job that she was going to apply for, she would have been valeting for a certain hot wrestler who didn't like her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so then they had to be all professional and work nicely together, which is where they realized that they both thought the other one was something. But
so then what happened?
Sander, Well, Xander kind of has his own problems, and show business is not an easy place to live. It's not an easy place to have relationships, and Xander has his own little bit of baggage that he needs someone to help him carry.
And
I think that's the...
And so he and Harmony live happily ever after.
Well, we'll see.
You know, I get no promises from your books.
Okay, I can give you a promise for like 6 out of the 7.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so then we move on to the fourth book.
Mm-hmm. In the fourth book, Harmony and Xander's story will continue, of course, because all the prior stories continue in the next book. Although they are complete and each book ends with an end that you can be happy with, hint, hint, it isn't necessarily the very end because it is a family series, so each book does follow up on the last book.
Right.
So... then we get to More Than Friends, which is the fourth book in the series, and that's where we really start getting to know Michael Kingsley. Michael is the oldest son in the family, and as such, he is a rather serious, very responsible, sort of in-looking kind of man. He owns his own business. He takes care of his home. And he has no idea why his wife left him.
Hmm.
No idea. She just up and left. He does find out, though. But in the beginning, when he's struggling, he doesn't know. And all he knows is he loved her and she's gone. So he, you know, he leans on his family, as we do when hard times come. He leans on his friends, one of whom happens to be a very saucy, very sweet yoga instructor who is a darling girl. And we know her well from some previous stories. I'm trying not to tell you too much.
Well, you can tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody.
You're sneaky, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, I'll tell you. Our girl's name is Renee Keaton. And you'll remember when I told you about Cass Keaton, she was taken in to her foster family and accepted by the twin daughters of the Keaton family.
Right.
Renee is one of the twins. So, she and Michael are pretty close friends. They happened to meet at a family wedding. I will not tell you whose it was, though.
Oh, my.
And they have been close, close friends ever since. Or maybe more than friends. If anyone could ever get the lead out and make a move.
It sounds just like a man, don't it?
Actually, I had a relationship quite like that many years ago. So that one was a little easy to write once I got inside of Michael's head. Most of the books, let's see, Fat Chance is first person, so you spend the entire book inside of Cass's head. More Than Friends, I believe, was third person. Wrestling Harmony, I believe, was third person. More Than Friends is third person, but it's third person Michael's perspective. So it was a little hard for me to write some of those scenes because I had to get inside the head of a man. And so, you know, that's a nasty place to be sometimes. So
that
I had
true.
To give little snippets to different male friends and people that I know and say, okay, is this right? Because I wanted Michael to be someone that women could love and men could believe.
Right.
And that's hard if you're writing an emotional character, because we don't really think of men as emotional in that way. You know, that they get hurt feelings, or maybe they sit in a room and cry, or but this guy has emotions, just like we want our men to have. And at the same time, he's responsible and manly, and he opens doors, and he generally looks nice. You know, so he does all the things we want him to do, but he has his struggles, struggles that make him real. And so, I mean, that's one of the, when I first started writing, I wish I could remember who it was. Someone told me that one of the most important things I could do was brand my books. Something that would bring all of them together as one product. And I thought, okay, I've got Selkie, that's a fantasy romance. I've got Fighting for Freedom, that is women's fiction romance. I have these Kingsley books that are contemporary romance. And I have 1,000 other ideas for 1,000 other mixed genres. What's going to bring them together? My books are real characters. They're just like your neighbor, your sister, your mother, your brother, yourself. They're just like regular, real people. And they have the kind of honest love that we all wish we could find. They feel it. They work for it. They're scared of losing it. They have problems that come in the way. They're just real.
Yeah, and your brand is something like Real Characters. What is your brand?
Real Characters, Honest Love, Brandy Kennedy Book.
Absolutely. We are on the couch with Brandy Kennedy, and we're going to take just a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press Studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions, worth staying up all night for.
And we are on the air and on the couch with my friend Brandy Kennedy. And Brandy is telling us all about her books. And I believe she's just about finished doing that. So now we're going to go ahead and ask, what's next for Brandy Kennedy?
What's next is my house phone is going to ring.
Okay.
Other than that, I like I said, I'm writing Selkie 2 right now. I have plans to wrap up the rest of the Kingsley children this year. There is one more Kingsley child whose story has not yet been told. So I plan to do that. I will write the other half Well, Fighting for Freedom eventually will become a series based on different serious real-life issues like abuse and addiction and things like that. But Fighting for Freedom will be followed up by another book closely in line with that called Still Fighting for Freedom, which will be the rest of Christine's story. Aside from the writing, in March this year, on the 19th, I will be signing books and kind of co-hosting a luncheon called Romancing the Smokies.
I've never heard of it.
It'll be me. Oh, it'll be me and a whole bunch of other awesome authors having lunch with a bunch of awesome fans, followed by a free signing event for all of the unfortunate souls who didn't get to come to lunch.
Right.
But still want to meet all the awesome authors and rub elbows and maybe buy some books.
Well, that sounds good. Now, are you planning on any other events this year?
I am. That's my spring. This fall, I believe it's in September, I will be signing at the Maynardville Public Library in Maynardville, Tennessee. I think that is maybe my favorite library because they're so cool about, you know, hosting author events with authors like me that aren't interested in the traditional contract. And I like being my own boss and I like having my own creative control, and that doesn't make me any less legitimate to them. And I love that they respect that I am a writer, and I love that they think I'm good at it.
Well, Brandy, also in October, you are going to be invited to Morristown, Tennessee to sign. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Well, I'm going to accept.
I just have to get a date down. And then on November the 12th, there will be a workshop with Hallie Bridgman and company.
Oh, I love her.
And you'll be there. Yeah, and you will be there, I'm sure.
I love her. I had an opportunity to hear her speak recently, and she was very encouraging, very inspirational, and she seemed to really know her business. I was impressed.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think that the best word for Hallie Bridgman would be amazing.
Yeah, she was really great. I went home and actually downloaded several of her books. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading them.
She's amazing. Okay, so let's wrap up. Let's just say that Brandy Kennedy has 7 wonderful books out with very high review, lots of stars. I noticed lots of stars on your books.
For the most part, they are highly rated, which is nice.
And what about, and tell us again about the free book.
Oh, I almost forgot to mention, Fat Chance, the first book in the Kingsley series, is now completely and utterly free to download. You can get it on Amazon or iTunes or Kobo, Nook. I think it's even on like Page Foundry, but I think that's Inkterra now. So, I mean, it's almost everywhere. And actually, I made a really cool graphic and put it on my website's homepage today, and it has all the purchase links right there on it. So that's at authorbrandykennedy.blogspot.com, and that has all of the purchase links, and there's tons of links there to information about the other books, and my blog is there, and all kinds of other stuff, and newsletter sign-ups, because I give toward the end of each month, I give away a $5 gift card to one of my newspaper newsletter subscribers. So just kind of something for fun. To thank people for spending time with me.
I don't know about anybody else, but free is about the best price anything can be. I mean, you know, it's really hard to get less expensive than free. Let me put it that way.
Well, the free thing is just due to my superior negotiation skills.
Oh, yes. I understand that. Well,
I spent the whole weekend with Amazon working hard on that.
Well, Bebo is here with us, the Boogie Woogie Beagle Boy, and my Beagle assistant, and he wanted to ask if any of your books have beautiful dogs in them like him.
Actually, yes. Selkie has a beautiful dog in it. And he is hyper and out of control, and his name is Lugus. and he belongs to the best friend of our heroine, who actually has a much deeper meaning to the story than she knew when she got started.
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful. Okay,
it's
so
a good story.
And here's a really good question that I want to ask as well. Are your books available on all platforms or just at Amazon?
They are. I was Amazon exclusive for a long time, but it made me sad to know that I was cutting off people who might like my stories. And so just this past year, I went wide with everything. And so now I'm on all the major platforms, except I'm not on Google yet. So I'm working on that. But for now, I am on Amazon and Apple, Kobo, Nook. Most of my books are on Page Foundry, which is now Inkterra.
Now, Page Foundry,
I am everywhere.
Page Foundry?
Yeah, it's one of the smaller distributors. I think they deal in EPUBs.
Okay. All right. Well, Brandy, if there was one thing about yourself that you would want your readers to know, what would it be?
I love them.
Oh, okay. That's very nice.
I do.
How sweet is that?
Well, writing is, I mean, it's part of me. I wouldn't know what I was if I wasn't a writer. And so it's very fulfilling to think that there are people who read these stories that think they're good and they love my characters. I've had reviews that just brought me to tears because somebody was able to relate to the characters that come out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
I was reading your reviews, actually, and especially to Fat Chance, I think it's because it's about a bigger woman, and people are not, most women are not size twos. It's just that simple.
No, they're not. And we're all told that that's not okay. You're not worth anything if you aren't a certain size or if you don't have a certain skin tone or a certain hair color, a certain hair texture. Even your body parts have to be the right size. If your legs are too short or your breasts are too small or, you know, anything. If you've got freckles or your eyes are, my eyes are different colors. I mean, there's so many different things that we're being told by our society that we're not good enough for because we're not perfect. And you know what? I just don't think that's okay. I just don't. And I don't want my daughters to hear that.
I don't blame you for that. How old are your daughters?
My daughters are 12 and almost 7.
Wow. Yes, and that, especially the one that's 12, is getting to that point where people are, kids are cruel. It's just that simple.
They are, so, and she goes to the gym. She's in middle school, and she goes to the gym at school almost every day. And she works out, and I'm seeing her start to read nutrition labels. And it's nice that she wants to be healthy, but it breaks my heart because she's terrified to be fat, like that's the worst possible thing she could ever be.
Yeah.
And I have sat them down and said, you could be a liar, you could be a thief, you could be a murderer, you could be any number of things that are horrible and vile and maybe unforgivable. But your body size is going to change so many times in your life, sometimes completely without your consent and out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Well, I think that's a good thing to be telling her, especially if she's going to the gym at 12 years old. Okay,
yeah.
We're on the couch with Brandy Kennedy, and our time has drawn to a close. Brandy, thank you so much for attending and being a featured author at Romancing the Smokies. And thanks for being on tonight. I've enjoyed listening to you talk about your books.
I'm happy to do it. I love this show.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen,
Thank you, my friend
Brandy Kennedy. And we're going to close out for the evening. I hope that you've enjoyed tonight and hearing Brandy and getting to know her a little better. She really is a super person. If you get the chance to come out to Romance in the Smokies and you get a chance to meet Brandy, you will certainly enjoy it, I'm sure. But for now, it's time to go, and I would just like to say that we'll be back on Monday, and don't forget, next Tuesday, we'll also have one of our featured authors will be on Tuesday night, so you don't want to miss that. But for now, good night.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.